It's Travis, and welcome to Marketing Unboxed. A lot of times in marketing, we need to put on our sales hat and convince people internally about a new type of technology that we want to bring on board, about increasing our ad spend budget, about pivoting from a project or from an idea that didn't quite work out as we thought it would. And so today, Allie and I will provide examples of things that have happened to us and talk about different ways that as a marketer, you can get buy-in and make it a little bit easier. And the secret isn't to becoming a salesperson. The secret is actually doing what you do, being a marketer. So sit back and enjoy. Today, we're going to be talking about how to go about getting buy-in internally, cross-functionally, and probably within the same team sometimes. But how to go about doing that if you need to increase budget, if you need to purchase something like a platform like HubSpot or something similar that is going to require an investment. How do you go about getting that buy-in? And so that's what we're gonna riff about today. To kind of kick it off, whose point of view are we talking about? What's their persona?
Yeah, I think so. For me, this question, while the question is, how do I get buy-in? I think the way I most often see this is from marketers that are like, my boss doesn't get it, or my, you know, the sales team doesn't get it. Like it's disguised as other people don't get it, or they want to shortcut the steps that we need to. And I think as an agency owner myself now, and also as a marketer for my clients, and I see all of the different facets, I think there's two point of views. There's the marketing leader who is held accountable to the results of the marketing strategy. So they're, you know, Allie, why isn't this doing what it should? And there's days that you want to like rip your hair out and be like, because you didn't listen, you know? And then there's the executive who from the outside in, marketing is just this like giant vague sea of ambiguity. And so they're trying their hardest to put some sort of tangible metrics or some sort of steps so they can feel like they get their arms around it. And sometimes that's like oversimplifying it and then getting rid of what might be called the fluffy stuff. And that is, oh, brand isn't important. But I think the perspective that I hear most often is those that are like in the trenches doing the things, and they're being asked to either do more, do things that don't make sense, or they're held accountable to results that were not their decision. Mm-hmm. And that's super frustrating.
Yeah. And you mentioned something interesting, that a lot of times the point of view is from the person who's trying to get the buy-in is the other people don't get it, which, you know, I think a lot of times in marketing, there's so many tactics involved that mm-hmm. people forget to be marketers. And yeah. Not only do you have to be a marketer externally, mm-hmm. but internally as well. And yeah. And the biggest thing with being a marketer is empathy and knowing mm-hmm. your audience. And, you know, I think you're right. Like that is kind of what people say. They don't get it, but now you're not being a marketer. You're being a salesperson that's trying to sell something that person doesn't see a need or a want for, right? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that we're having this conversation because I'm, as usual, in an Akimbo workshop, the marketing seminar. It's my second time through because now I want to use my business as the project.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And we haven't even gotten into tactics, and we're probably 2 weeks in, and it's mm-hmm. been about empathy for the last week. And mm-hmm. just this morning, I was watching a video from it of Seth Godin, and he said that the art of marketing is not being fully empathetic, it's getting close, right? Because you'll mm-hmm. never know exactly what that person feels or wants or what right. they get, right? And so I think the key is, why don't they get it? Mm-hmm. Put yourself in their shoes for a minute. If it's finance, if it's the CMO, the CEO, your teammates, because sometimes you'll need lateral buy-in as well, mm-hmm. especially if it's something big that they're going to use as well. You don't want to be on the island, right, mm-hmm. of being the only person that gets it. Right. So I think, you know, I would say talk to them and just say, does this make sense? Why? Why doesn't, you know, why would you say no to this mm-hmm. and find out what they say. And then you'll understand why they don't get it and know where you need to help them understand why you get it and why you need it. So, mm-hmm. so I think be a marketer if you're a marketer, yeah. right?
Yeah, I think that's interesting, the way that that was put, again, from that workshop that you're in, because I think the hardest thing, I mean, it's the curse of knowledge. It's mm-hmm. You can't unknow what you know. So even now as a marketing professional with, you know, 15 or probably now almost 20 years of experience, depending on when you define started marketing, right? Like when I was 8, maybe. Yeah, started. Exactly. But if you think about, like, I now just live, eat, breathe, sleep, everything through the stages of the marketing funnel. Like I'm always thinking about what stage that I'm in. When I go to the car dealership, like I had a horrible experience at a dealership a couple of weeks ago, and I am analyzing the crap out of that experience. Whereas the average person just goes there and says, never going there again. That's like all they thought about. They didn't think about like the words that were used. They didn't think about it was interesting because I was sitting at the desk in the car dealership office, and on the desk in front of me, you can tell is a checklist that this person's supposed to be following. And the key thing that they missed, Travis, was they were missing empathy. They did all the stupid stuff on the checklist, but they did not empathize with me whatsoever. Yeah. So I think when we're quote unquote selling our ideas internally, we have to remember that I don't think most people come to a marketing meeting hoping to shoot everything down. I really don't think that there's people, maybe a small portion of people, but most people do not. They come to the meeting with their own expectations of marketing or of tactics based on their previous experiences. So if they worked for a direct response company and the only ads that they ever put out were 30% off, buy today, 30% off, buy today, and they move into a B2B long sales cycle role, if they haven't quite figured out that there's much more to this marketing experience on this company than offer action, offer action. Like there just isn't. And I think that understanding where they came from, why they think that, and then having them help uncover their understanding instead of you telling it to them mm-hmm. is far more effective. And we as marketers hope that our customers do that and lead themselves down a buying journey. So we probably should be doing that with our peers too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think understanding point of view from a generational standpoint as well is also key, because what do mm-hmm. they consider marketing? You know,
for a long time,
marketing and advertising were the same thing. And you and I know that marketing and advertising are two totally different things. And it used to be about mass market. Get this message to as many people as possible because you can. And hopefully the right number of people will see it and take action. And that's no longer the case. Mm-hmm. either. So, you know, they may be considering what you're doing as mass marketing, mass advertising, because that's mm-hmm. what they know. And I think something you also mentioned that maybe some people might want to come to meetings and shoot things down. And I definitely see that being the case in some instances. There's just this weird dynamic in some companies between marketing and sales and marketing and finance and sales and finance and, all these cross-functional siloed walls that are put up and the protectionism within each one. And I think that just kind of goes to like, are you as a company, as an organization, truly aligned toward the mm-hmm. same goal? Because I think if you are, then it's easy. I mean, it's never easy to convince somebody, but it's easier to get that buy-in because you're all pushing toward the same thing. And hopefully what you're trying to sell to them will help the broader objective, which is more revenue, successful company, happy customers, all of the things that you all are striving for. Whereas I think if you're not aligned and you're siloed and everyone is responsible for sales needs to do this, finance is accountable just for these metrics, and it all becomes transactional and self kind of indulging, I guess, and protectionism, mm-hmm. then it's going to be much more difficult. And then I'd say that you probably have just a big organizational problem to sort out first and then try to get buy-in.
There's definitely things that are, they're marketing related, but they're not. They're culture, they're, I am the leader. I am always the person that has the answers. You have no answers. Like that kind of stuff. That, I mean, that if you're in an organization like that, one, I'm sorry. Two, you probably, you do deserve better. And unfortunately, there's some people that just lack self-awareness. I don't understand how someone can realize that the whole company, they've never let anyone have a say. If anyone's listening to that, to this, and you don't get a chance. And it's not that everybody shoots my ideas down all the time. It's, are you listened to? Are you allowed to explain yourself? Because there are some people that just think that every idea they have should be taken. And that's not true. Like you should get your ideas shot down because it forces you to clarify and it forces you to really come back to the why and whether or not you're married to, are you married to the idea? Are you open to the option of shifting how you go about something to achieve the same outcome? And those are two different things. But I think the thing that I have found has been when you're in an organization where people are constantly combative about what they want, it does come back to alignment. It's okay. So if the marketing team is being forced to give you more, to get more leads, then that leads into getting crappier leads for the sales team because nothing changes. I just need more leads, no more budget, no more changes. Just give me more leads. And then the sales team is like, these leads suck. And so then there's this like animosity. And I think we have to be careful to speak up about the things that are causing a problem half defined is, or well defined is half solved. If the problem is we're being forced to double our whatever it is with no more additional investment, okay, that's just wrong. There's no like scientific principles that say you can get double out of something by doing nothing else. Like exactly, nothing, you know? So I think we have to think about that and speak up. And sometimes you just have to literally be a broken record because one day someone will say something in a meeting and you're like, oh my God, I've been saying that for months and it finally is here, you know, go celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all outputs need an input, right? Like things just don't, it's not magic. Isn't really a real thing. So you can't just make something appear in thin air without an input, right? That rabbit came from somewhere. and I think something else that as you were just kind of describing that those scenarios and situations came up in that if you've been somewhere for a while, and if you are, marketing, business changes, life changes fast, right? We're always learning. No one knows everything. Some people act like they do. And those are the people that you're never going to get buy-in with. But from your own perspective, if you are always learning and evolving and changing your perspectives on things, what happens when you've been somewhere for a while and you had one stance on something? Because I mean, this happens in marketing all the time, right? Like things change and you could be that, you know, back in the day, 20 years ago, it was like, let's just get these lists and let's just email the hell out of them, right? And now you're the blast email guy and you don't want to be that. Now things have changed and you're not that person. But yet that's how you are. Now you're seen as that forever. And so what do you do when things have changed and your perspective has changed and you've evolved and you're bringing something to the table that fits that new path, that new evolution, but yet to the organization, you're seen to them as stuck in what you used to be or what used to be kind of the standard in marketing. So I think how do you go about overcoming that and showing people, hey, I've changed, I no longer have that perspective. And does that deteriorate or kind of erode your trust, the trust they have in you and make you look wishy-washy or never, you know, sticking to your guns or sticking to what you were doing, right? So I think that's something to contend with, especially in marketing.
I think it's hard because from my perspective, and I've always thought this is marketing is such a fast moving, ever changing industry that if anybody said, like, I will say this until the day I die, but I believe content is the one of the keys that is driving and will continue to drive marketing and sales through the end of time because it empowers the customer. But how we use content will not be the same in 5 years, and it will not be the same in 10 years. Like those things will ebb and shift. And maybe there's some things that are the same, but I think communicating, like if you come into an organization, it all comes back down to expectations. So I've seen folks, not just in marketing, but they come into an organization with a like, this is how we do things today. And it's, they almost give off the idea that they are that thing. Like email blasting is the way that you get leads. We do this. And so then they do that. And then just like all things, there's a plateau or a like diminishing returns point. And then suddenly they're left kind of on this island going, well, now it looks like I don't know what I'm doing, so I better shift my strategy, but I need to make sure that I describe this in a way that it doesn't show that I was wrong. Mm. Whereas it sounds wishy-washy from the outside, but it's, listen, marketing is ever-changing and moving fast. So we're going to look at the world every 90 days and reassess what's important at that time. And I think people that have adopted that mindset, it works well in software. It's working well in finance. Like finance is not an industry that says this works today, this doesn't work tomorrow. And yet somehow people just want to put a coin in the marketing genie and just like, okay, time to put another coin in. And we, that I think is the mentality that we as marketers have to shift and change in our organizations, is we are a living, breathing organism in the organization. Mm-hmm. And so we have to constantly be getting oxygen in and carbon dioxide out in order for us to take in what's good, release what's bad, take in what's good, release what's bad, because there are some things that are now just fundamentally bad. Mm-hmm. You should not be spending an exorbitant amount of time on organic social media if you're a small B2B startup.
Yeah.
No one's going to see your stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's the mindset I would take.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're kind of veering into another topic, but I think that's good, because I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with. And I think it kind of comes back to tactics and being too focused on tactics. And I came into marketing, and I think you did as well, from different path, right? And I think when you do that, you come in with a fresh perspective. And because it wasn't what I started doing after college, and I didn't just come in and believe everything I was told, right? Like, you need to do this for SEO and this for SEO and these rules that we put into place. And some of those rules that I learned about early on, I just felt like, no, like these are awful rules and awful tactics. And who are they serving? Are they serving you, the company, or the end user and the people you're seeking to serve? Mm-hmm. And I think so many times companies and marketers and salespeople are self-serving, and it just comes across. It's like you're shining lights on it, right? Mm-hmm. One of those things, for example, is link building with SEO. Mm-hmm. I've never thought that was a good thing to take, like to spend money on or spend time on, because to me, it just seemed like what you should be doing is creating great content that provides value to people, and they will share it because it's good, not going out and buying someone to put a link to back to garbage, right? And so link building is something I've never, you know, done, tried, suggested, recommended it ever. So I think a lot of times, and you know, and I think this kind of ties back into how to get buy-in of who is the value for. Is it for you as the marketer to try to rise up the ranks, or is it truly for the company? And ultimately, is it truly for your customers? And that's who it really has to come back to. I think if you can prove value beyond yourself and really to your customers and clients, you know, then it should be an easy sell, right?
Well, that's really what brings, that piece then brings this back to the buy-in, where if I'm in, let's say I'm you know, running a multi-person marketing team, and we're trying to get the buy-in of senior leadership for some things we should do. One of the biggest, you know, pieces of ammunition that you can have is, I looked at X number of responses from our latest customer service data, and this is what I found. Or I saw a conversation with a customer over on Twitter, and I screenshotted it. Like, anytime we can get what I would call like field data back to the marketing department in a way that's like, the marketing department didn't say this, the customers did. Like, hey, the customers said this. And really good leaders will recognize that. The really bad ones that we talked about just a short time ago, they will still be like, the customers don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
But, and again, if that's the case, run away, find a different job, run away. You might just be in a bad place, but really good leaders will recognize, sometimes they don't recognize the feedback from the marketing team, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to find, in marketing, we talk about what's in it for me, like that WW or WIIFM radio, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure it's something that everyone's familiar with, but what do the customers want? What do the leaders want? Well, they want to know that their company is appealing to the customer's needs. Okay. So go find some evidence of that and use that in your supporting statements almost, in how you position the ideas, strategies, and tactics for the company.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think if you're already doing that, if you have that qualitative data and you know what your customers want, hopefully that is driving your decision to bring on the new platform, technology, whatever it is, instead of bringing on a platform and then trying to make it fit, you know?
Right.
And so again, I think if you are obsessively focused on the customer experience and what's important to them, again, I think it won't just make getting buy-in easy. It'll make evaluating the platforms mm-hmm. easy because you know exactly how it fits and what mm-hmm. the end result will be. So,
yeah, I think some of the other challenges that we as marketers, this is not unique to marketing, but anytime you have projects that require a specific time investment for you to see a minimum number of results. So SEO is a perspective. I mean, really any social campaign, anything that really starts from a foundational piece and then builds, which has the propensity long-term to be of immense value. Mm. So YouTube, for example, it's hard to prevent people from wanting to jump ship mm-hmm. before that first sign of land rolls in, right? Mm-hmm. So the importance of communication in the little teeny things. So sometimes teams are just looking for you to execute. So instead of saying, we got 15 leads from this video, that video series that we now have on YouTube, hey, we've now produced 7 videos like we said we would on schedule. Mm. If you still report that shows you've delivered what you said you're supposed to, and you have to remind them that we are doing this until 6 months in, and our reporting at this point is showing you that we can consistently execute. The growth isn't where we want it yet, but we can consistently execute. And I think without those details, because there isn't any end results yet, sometimes marketers don't share anything. They're just like, okay, well, we're waiting on results. Yeah. And then to the people on the outside, they're like, what are you guys doing? You're doing nothing. I see nothing.
Yeah.
So it's important to communicate those little teeny things. Otherwise, that absence of a story creates a story of their own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, it comes back to that input, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes there isn't. The output takes a while. And sometimes mm-hmm. the output is not from one thing, but like you said, 7 things that you just created over time. And little by little, they start to add up. And I think that's the challenge with marketing. Right. Sales needs short-term results, quick turnarounds, which they should, because if you're doing your job as a marketer, any leads that they get, those people have been educated enough on what you do and sell and provide mm-hmm. that they're ready to buy. And it's just a matter of making sure that they're a good fit. Right. That's what sales should be doing. But that's not the case. Right. And so everything seems to be just truncated into this short time frame for marketing and sales, and that everything should be that way. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case, you know? So I mean, I'm investing for my retirement and I'm not expecting it to just like give me all of my retirement in 1 month, right? Because mm-hmm. I put this investment in. No, it's going to be accumulation of each month, mm-hmm. each week, right? So marketing is the same way. And I think you have to look at it the same way.
Yeah, definitely. So it's interesting because the other thing that I've noticed about teams that have short-term attention spans in terms of long-term investment on marketing is they might have leaders that are prone to, I don't know, I call it the squirrel syndrome, but you can call it whatever you want. And it's like, okay, so they went and read Simon Sinek's book. Okay, oh my gosh, our vision is all wrong. Work on our vision. And then they read, you know, the 1-page marketing plan. Okay, our marketing plan is wrong. And so every time they read a new book or they go to a conference or they watch a webinar, all of a sudden that thing is wrong and we have to do it this way. And so I think the ability for if you work for someone like that, it's probably exhausting because you feel like you're constantly talking them off of a ledge. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you can also leverage that, if you happen to be working for someone like that and you can feed the books their way that support the things that you want to take action on, then eventually they, you know, they come back to you and you're like, oh, interesting, interesting. Yeah, that's a good strategy. We should consider that. Meanwhile, you've already built it because you're hoping that they go that direction. But it is difficult to not want to blow everything up when you hear of a company that's doing something extraordinary and different. Mm-hmm. But every single company that has a case study of how they did X, Y, and Z has a different number of variables than you do. And so I think that's hard sometimes to people just kind of want to like copy, paste, and you can't because there's all sorts of different characters involved in that copy paste that are not going to transfer over.
Yeah. Yeah. And you made an interesting comment about the people who read books and change everything. And, you know, why do they do that? Because it's their idea, right? And I think another way of getting buy-in, and this is from my sales days, of how do you turn something around to where it's the other person's idea, or how can they frame it as if they're in control making the decision, and it's not really their decision, but they think it is. And I think that's why some brands are so sticky, because people want things to feel like it's their decisions, because people don't like to be sold, right? So if you're trying to get buy-in and you're trying to sell them, they're going to be resistant because it's just how we're wired. Mm-hmm. And so I think if, you know, how do you turn it around and feed them, like you said, books, videos, information, give them all the pieces to formulate the idea themselves, right? And then come to you and say, oh, have you thought about this with this product, right? I've had that happen before where I've pitched something and they came back and saw something totally different, an angle, which I saw, but I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But that's what they, you know, latched onto, and that became their idea. And then it was easy at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can somehow align the thinking so that the idea, you know, almost births in their brain, you'll have buy-in all day long. Like that's kind of the golden ticket in a way that you don't want to be manipulative. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a hard line for many people. There was an article that came out on, I want to say Bloomberg News, maybe one of the major outlets over this last week. And it was the dark side of e-commerce online and all of these manipulative tactics that are used on websites. So, you know, 17 other people are viewing this right now when, you know, two people just bought it and it's only on sale for the next 10 minutes. P.S. it'll be on sale in another 2 hours, but you don't know that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think one of the things we're up against that is a challenge, not just as marketers, but in all business roles, is we are constantly looking over our shoulder to see if we're going to be tricked in some way. And we just have to be aware of that and acknowledge it and be transparent about it, because the last thing we want is for people to put us in that used car salesman category as marketers. And unfortunately, we are too close to that just by just by definition, that we have to avoid going there intentionally.
Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of content, right? And if you're doing marketing right, you're providing all of the answers to questions that your potential clients could have. And you're letting them drive the process. And that's why when I mentioned earlier, with salespeople, the leads they should be getting already know what they want, because your content, your education campaigns have worked. And they've allowed the client to assume that control over the decision, and that they are now pursuing you instead of you pursuing them. And I think that's the magic to both marketing and getting buy-in and everything, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's the hard thing about, so helping folks realize that giving power to the customers is not as risky as one thinks it is, because when we retain control over the customers, it actually pushes them farther away. So it's almost like reverse psychology of thinking, wait a minute, if I give them more freedom, they're actually going to come to me. That doesn't, I don't like that. I'd rather like lasso them and reel them in, kicking and screaming. But at least I know they're in my arena, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that would be a funny video of like what people want marketing to be and not actually what it is. Yeah, so exactly. We might have to act that one out, Travis.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's great. And yeah. And I mean, yeah, if you lasso someone in and you meet your quota mm-hmm. and your quarterly revenue goals, but then they're not a fit, mm-hmm. then you've got churn problems. Then you're spinning cycles on trying to convince them to stay. When I think if you take the content approach and the education approach and you're viewing it as we want people to opt out, we want this to be bifurcating and mm-hmm. and divisive on mm-hmm. purpose, right? Because we don't want the people who are kicking tires that it may not be for. We want people mm-hmm. to come knowing, hey, yeah, this resonates with me. This is my problem. You can solve it. Let's do this thing, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I think, so it's funny that you mentioned, so I mean, content, obviously we come back to that a lot, but I think if you're not, so think about parenting. So I was telling you earlier, like as a parent, I feel like I say the same thing over and over mm-hmm. and over and over again. Like that's just parenting. You're just constantly reinforcing the same things. Well, I think that if we think about that as a principle to communicating with all people is you have beliefs and you have specific things that you know to be true about how marketing should work. And the more you repeat those, the more over time people hear them. But like in a remote culture, like you're in, I don't get to overhear conversations about marketing going on two desks away because I'm not there. So this is where if you do get a chance to put your thoughts out in like this forum, like a podcast, or you're writing updates on LinkedIn, or you're sharing tweets, like that is the way to reinforce the knowledge with your peers and with your coworkers that would replace some of that sharing that would go on in the office, because otherwise you have a lot of reps that are missing to educate your team. And it's going to take a lot longer for them to believe you because they're just not hearing it as often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What you said about as a parent repeating the same things over and over reminds me of my wife sent me this meme yesterday, maybe about things dads always say, and it's like, stay out of the kitchen. And yeah, for whatever reason, that kind of is my thing that I have to repeat over and over to my kids and my dogs is like, stay out of the kitchen, get out of the kitchen. Cause they're always wanting to come in there when I'm cooking and doing stuff. And so, yeah, I just feel like every day I say, get out of the kitchen. And she noticed, but the kids don't. So
I think mine is probably make good choices. We don't talk like that in this house. And then why can't we hit the laundry basket? Like why? Like it is right there. I mean, we can make soccer goals. We can catch balls in sports. We somehow cannot hit the laundry basket. So
that's awesome. So that's kind of foreshadowing. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So right now we're just at stay out of the kitchen. Don't trip me when I have hot food. But yeah, I think that's on the horizon.
Yeah. Ours is like, you know, close the fridge. We now have a fridge. A fridge that you can like knock on the window and you can see what's in it, but they still want to open the whole thing and just have it wide open. So yeah, lots more to come. But the cooking now is less about who's under your feet and do I have enough food?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome. Yeah. I think great conversation and covered a lot. After listening to this, we've helped people get a better feel for how to get buy-in, how to go about that and become better marketers. Because if you can get buy-in, you're a good marketer. So,
yeah, I mean, really right up using some of the insight here and just your marketing skills already, like it sounds kind of hokey, but write yourself a marketing plan of how to market to your coworkers. Mm-hmm. Like if you're feeling really stuck, I think it is important to distinguish whether you're stuck in a toxic culture mm-hmm. or if you need to be a better marketer of yourself and your ideas. Because those are not the same thing.
Right.
If you're in a culture where you're being belittled and you know, not allowed to speak input, then you probably do need to look at a different opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're forever the email blasting guy, you probably need to look for another opportunity because they really don't get it that things change.
Yes. Yes. And like, you know, go ahead and restructure yourself and re-release yourself into a new company. Exactly. It is hard to change minds there. So
yeah. Absolutely.
So that wraps up this week's show. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more about today's topic or guest, we've got some links for you provided over in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and share your review. That really helps others find the show and get it into their network as well. So until next time, I'm Allie.
And I'm Travis. And remember, when you get outside of your comfort zone, it just means you're headed in the right direction. Keep an open mind and keep learning. And we're out.